plastics. And those cute little banana peppers that look like peanuts.
If these are things your computer craves, then you've come to the right place. It's our little corner here on the radio called the Computer Corner.
It is a little corner.
It is a little corner, and we occupy it every week here from 10 to 11:45 right here on News Radio 620 KTAR. Generally, you'll hear the lovely and talented voices of Ken Colburn and myself.
But today, you get an even more lovelier voice.
That's right, a more lovelier.
Michael, it's more gooder.
That's the right
term. You can't do anything about it.
I calm yourself.
I know.
Yeah, buddy.
I haven't played that in a while, so I figured I needed to just
You know what? What is that from? Because I was walking with my friend Wendy the other day, and somebody said that. And we were like, do they listen to the show, or is that just a term that we took from something?
We made this up.
Interesting.
No, we didn't make it
up.
Oh,
okay.
Calm yourself down.
Yeah.
It comes from, what's that that cartoon character, Brack? It's that.
Okay.
So we've got lots of them that are in here from that. There was a guy that used to work here. He was a technical director / board op / whatever you want to call one of those engineer guys that sits over there like Brian does.
And likes watching cartoons.
No, he liked all kinds of weird things. His name was Greg Jarvis.
Mm-hmm.
And he was an interesting guy. He's the guy who did a lot of these, like this kind of stuff.
Dingoes ate my baby.
That's his voice.
Interesting.
But he was into lots of weird music and stuff, and so he's to thank for a lot of the sound files that we still use because he kind of made himself part of the show. He used to come to production meetings with us and all kinds of stuff. It was weird. He was a cool guy.
Cool.
We kind of miss him. We wish we could see him from time to time and just hug
maybe
him.
He'll give us a call.
Yeah, I've tried calling a couple times and it's hard to get a hold of him. He's a tough guy. He's in demand. He's a school teacher.
Oh.
Anyway, that has nothing to do with anything on this show whatsoever except for the explanation of how we got to some of these things. But you know who's been holding a really long time? It's
I
been really,
know.
Really patient. A guy named Lloyd. He's been hanging out for over 52 minutes.
Holy cow.
If you can believe such a thing.
I started counting the commercials.
You started counting commercials?
Yeah.
It's like counting sheep, sir. It might be dangerous to your health.
You know, I think I fell asleep through part of them, you know.
See, you were counting sheep. You've got a problem with making bootable CDs, then we're going to try to help solve that problem with something. I don't know what we're going to do, but you tell us what the problem is, we'll make it happen for you.
Okay, well, whatever you do, it always asks for an A or a floppy drive. You know, please insert your source disk in drive A so you can make the bootable copy
the
CD.
When does it ask, what are you trying to make a bootable copy for? Let's back up a little.
Well, what I did is I got a bigger hard drive, so I formatted that and it was a Maxter. Maxter has a program that comes with the hard drive. So I inserted that, and it copied all the files over onto that hard drive. So now when I put that hard drive in, it says you need a bootable hard drive, bootable CD. Well,
what's telling you need a bootable CD? I'm not understanding what's going on. You bought a new drive, and you wanted to transfer everything from old drive to new so that you'd have a new one big drive in your computer, right?
That's correct.
Okay, so far I gotcha.
You
did that by using some program that came with the drive, and so far everything went well. Now you're putting that new drive as the only drive in the system. You try to boot up, and it says, I need something?
You need a CD to... You need a boot... The boot disk, uh-huh.
Okay.
Now then, I have tried to go... I have a program... By the way, I sent you an email for a backup, just in case I didn't... I never got on this morning.
Uh-huh.
You know, you say you make backups, so I made up an email, just in case.
Just in case.
Well, yeah,
that's
right.
A good thing.
So... But my dilemma, every once in a while, I need a bootable disk. And so what I was wanting to do was make a bootable CD.
Okay.
If I go into a program called Nero that I'm using as my read writer.
Yeah, you can make a bootable CD in there. And let me tell you something that might save you a lot of time. You've actually probably already got a few bootable CDs. If, for example, you have Windows XP, you said?
Yeah, but it's not bootable.
Okay, the CD that came that you install XP from actually is a bootable CD. If it's not booting in your computer, that means you've got some other issue there. But the Windows XP CD is bootable, and there's a way you can, if you needed to get in and repair your system or do something, you'd boot to the CD.
Even if it's the upgrade?
The upgrade, yeah, should be bootable also. You should be able to choose a repair option, which would get you to a command prompt, which would let you do some real basic level things in case you needed to make system repairs. So that CD is bootable. If you have Norton Antivirus, anything that's 2001 or newer, I believe, any of those versions, the disk that you installed the antivirus from is actually a bootable CD that allows you to boot to the CD in case you had some kind of virus problem. You could boot to it and run the antivirus program from a command line again from that CD. So that's a bootable CD that you probably already have as well.
Yeah, I do. I hate Norton, so because it installs 7,000 other programs.
Oh, yeah. You can actually control that. When you install, you can choose to only install the antivirus, or better yet, when you buy it, only buy the Norton antivirus. Don't buy it packaged with the other 50,000 things.
Yeah, I have the systems works, and
okay.
I hate that. Okay.
Yeah, well, when you install system works, there's actually a little trick if you want to, you know, next time you run across this, you can take and put that system works CD in. When it comes up and tries to install, cancel out of that. Then go ahead and open up your Windows Explorer and browse to the CD. And inside of the CD, there should be several folders. One of them will have a NAV, as in Norton Antivirus.
Yeah.
Within that folder, there's a setup or an NAV.MSI file, one of the two. And you can actually install just the antivirus from that CD without installing all the other garbage.
I see.
But that CD is also bootable, so if you needed to, you could boot to that in some kind of emergency and scan your system for viruses or whatever else you needed to do from that CD. So you probably already have a few CDs that are bootable if you needed them. Now, if you want to make a bootable CD, just having the Nero software and a CD, a blank CD, is not enough.
Yeah.
You need to have usually what's called a boot image that you would kind of have the CD right from. And that's it's kind of a hard thing to explain, but if you go out on the internet and do a search for bootable CD images at your favorite search engine like Google, go put in boot CD image, those three words, and do a search. I bet you'll come up with links to not only how to create bootable CDs, but more importantly, the image files, which are small little files you're going to need to help you create those, or at least a way to compile those files. And there's lots of resources out there, so I would recommend going through that, because it's a lot of steps involved. You've got to set usually some different parameters that are controlled by how that thing boots. Again, a lot of times we'll have an image file that you can point to, so you can eliminate having to set all those little things manually. But that's generally what's involved in something like that.
Okay. So it's not an easy task like it used to be, huh? You know, in the older systems of DOS or in Windows, you could make that without a problem.
Yeah, it's the problem is what you want to do after you boot to a bootable CD, and knowing what the next step is that you're going to be doing, there's not a whole lot of use for a bootable, just like in the old days, a DOS disk.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as a bootable DOS disk anymore, because your system doesn't have a DOS operating system underlying anymore.
I understand.
So it's a whole different kind of concept. But again, the operating system that you have, the XP operating system CD, that is bootable, and your Norton antivirus or SystemWorks,
either
whatever CD, is bootable. So those both of those give you some options there.
I have both of those, so I'll be able to do that. Okay, I'll change the subject, and I won't be long.
Okay.
I notice you guys always use, for example, msconfig, dx, diag, some of those. Is there some way to find out all of those that are actually out there available? Do you follow what I'm saying?
The little utilities and things that are inside your system?
Yeah, when you type in, you go to run, you know, and you run msconfig, for example. Is there some way to find out what's all out there?
Well, most of those programs that we're running are all things, in your case, in Windows XP's case, in the Windows directory, and then underneath that, the System32 directory.
Yeah.
There are a bunch of little programs and executables that are there. A lot of those things you can get to those programs by actually going into Start Programs, or All Programs, and Accessories, and a lot of those things. But they're just little shortcut ways that we give you to kind of get to some of those utilities without having to go and manually find them. So that's most of those programs are located there. The list of them, I don't know where you'd find a list of something like that.
I know I read PC Mag, and it gives some of them in there you never even hear before. And you go and look at them, and they're really, really nice if a person knew they were there.
Yeah, there's all kinds of little things that, I mean, usually it's just a shorter way to get to the same thing. There, in Windows, you can almost always get to things in 10 different ways.
Yeah.
Start and run is oftentimes just a very quick way. For example, the command prompt, you can go start, run, and type in CMD.
Yeah.
It brings you up a command prompt instead of having to go start all programs and finding command prompt somewhere in that big list. So
not familiar with that.
They're just shortcuts to common Windows features that are already built in.
Yeah.
Make sense?
Okay. I'm familiar with that and appreciate your help. And nice having Michael. Kind of makes a little change in your whole program there, doesn't it?
Well, we're kicking out permanently maybe after this weekend.
Kind of nobody to pick on you, huh?
Pick on me or pick on Michael?
To pick on you.
Oh.
Pick on you, yeah.
See, you're the big dog.
See, Michael does it off the air, so maybe she needs to pick on me publicly.
Maybe if she had a little more time, you know, one or two times, she would get kind of brazen and lay it on to you. How's that?
Definitely.
We'll have her work on that.
There you go.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lloyd.
Okay, thanks for the call. Okay,
bye-bye.
Good day.
And that brings us up on a break here. So we're going to go ahead and run to a break. And when we come back, we got lots of show left. So Richard, you stick right where you're at. We'll get your IE allowing it to use the links on pages. And Kevin with your antivirus program problems. Mark with your user access for limited accounts. We'll get all those problems solved. and your problem and your question. 602-277-5827. It's the Computer Corner, and back after this.